welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVoon. Coming up in this hour, radio sitcoms with two female leads. Later on, Eve Arden portrays America's favorite high school teacher, our Miss Brooks. Right now, it's The Adventures of Blondie. From the comic strip to your theater of the mind, this episode from 1948 on NBC had over 10 million people tuned in on a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. For the broadcast, Alexander joins the circus.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Blondie.
Yes, folks, it's another half hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood, brought to you by the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of the new Super Suds with Pyray. Better than sunshine to get wash white, colors bright. And Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while it cleans your teeth. Last week, the Riley Brothers Circus came to town, and Dagwood promised to take Cookie and Alexander. But as the days went by, Dagwood forgot all about it. So one morning before Dagwood came down to breakfast, Alexander said to Blondie,
Mom, when's Pop going to take us to the circus?
Well, I don't know, Alexander. Your father's been very busy at the office this week.
He promised to take us.
Well, Cookie, why don't you and Alexander use the power of suggestion on your father?
What's the power of suggestion?
Oh, you just hint around about the circus until suddenly your father gets a brilliant idea.
What idea?
To take you to the circus.
Oh, but that's our idea.
Yeah.
Well, believe me, children, it'll work a lot better if you let your father think it was his idea.
Well, sounds kind of goofy to me, but we'll do it.
Hey, is breakfast ready yet?
Daddy's coming downstairs now. Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, son, the power of suggestion, but don't be too obvious about it.
Okay, Mom.
Oh, boy, I'm starved. Here I come, ready or not.
Oh, Dagwood, you're not dressed. You forgot to put on your trousers.
Yeah, that's what I said. Here I come, ready or not.
Good morning, Daddy.
Oh, hi, kids. What's new, huh?
Now, sit down, dear. Your breakfast will be ready in a minute.
Okay, Blondie.
Pop.
Yes, Alexander?
We want to try the power suggestion on you.
You do?
Yes, we suggest you take us to the circus.
Be quiet.
Now, look, kids, be quiet and let your pop read the paper, please.
Here's your breakfast, honey.
Oh, thanks, dear.
Did you see this big ad in the paper, Pop?
Yeah, pass this off, please, Cookie. Which ad is that, Alexander?
It says Riley Brothers Circus. Educational enjoyment for every child.
Yeah, cream and sugar too, Cookie. Yeah.
Fine tingling thrills for kids from 60.
Yeah,
60.
Boy, these eggs are just right, Blondie.
150, that's the fine ass.
Yeah.
40 marching elephants.
Yeah.
50 lions and tigers.
Boy, this is good coffee, Blondie.
60 beautiful girls, 60.
What's the matter?
Yeah, I just got a brilliant idea.
What is it, Pop?
Let's all go to the circus tonight.
Yeah, have fun!
Gosh, Pop, you're swell.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Alexander. But I don't mind if you say it. Holy smoke, look at the time. I gotta leave right away, Blondie.
Oh, wait, Dagwood, don't go yet.
Don't go yet? Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, honey, you sort of hate to see me go out the door, don't you, huh?
Yes, dear. Particularly without your pants on.
Oh, yeah. I gotta hurry. I'll be right down.
We're going to the circus. We're going to the circus.
Man, Pop thought it was all his idea.
Gosh, that power suggestion really works.
Lunch ready? Almost, Alexander. Go upstairs and wash your hands and face.
Oh, gee, do I have to?
Yes, you have to. Oh, dear. What's that peculiar odor?
I don't smell anything.
Oh. Well, where were you all morning, Alexander?
Over at Jimmy Dexter's house.
Oh. Well, go on upstairs and wash your hands and face.
Oh, gee, Mom, I just washed my hands and face this morning.
I wonder what in the world that is.
Boy, Jimmy Dexter and I had fun this morning. We were playing circus with this fat billy goat.
Well, I'm not wondering anymore. So you and Jimmy were playing with a billy goat all morning.
Yeah.
Alexander, I've changed my mind.
Huh?
Don't go upstairs and wash your hands and face.
Okay.
Go upstairs and take a long, hot bath.
Oh, Mom.
Alexander, do you want to go to the circus tonight?
Okay, I'll take a bath. But can I ask you something first?
Well, what do you want to ask me?
Can I have Jimmy Dexter's billy goat?
Why? Does he want to get rid of it?
His father does. If I had it, I could start my own circus.
Heaven forbid. Besides, what do you think your father would say about your having a billy goat?
Well, couldn't we keep it a secret?
I'm afraid things like that have a way of getting around.
Well, gee whiz, I don't see what's so terrible about having one billy goat. Remember, you and Pop were kids once.
What?
Well, you haven't always been old.
No, I guess it just seems that way.
Why can't I have it, Mom?
You'd better ask your father about having a billy goat, Alexander.
Well, if Pop says yes, what will you do?
I'll just pray for a strong wind.
That's you, Bumstead?
This is where Corporal Julius Dithers hangs out?
Joe Klotz.
Sergeant Joe Klotz. Remember, Julie?
I'll say I remember. I haven't seen you since the Army in 1918.
Yeah, you were a corporal and I was a sergeant.
Remember that last leave in Paris? Wow.
Oh!
Well, Joe Klotz.
Yeah?
Been a long time. What are you doing in town, anyway?
Tigers Club convention starts today.
Tigers Club?
Oh, sure, you know, Tigers Club, like the Lions Club, the Elks, the Moose.
Oh, sure, Tigers Club.
Yeah, roar!
What's that?
Oh, that's our club greeting. Hey, why don't you join the Tigers Club, Julie? I'll get you an invite.
Oh, I don't know, Joe.
Oh, it's good for business. You meet a lot of fellas. Swell blowouts. Get to go to the convention.
Might be a good idea, then.
Well, sure it is.
Well, could my assistant be a member, too? His name's Bumstead.
Well, sure thing. Hey, why don't you and Bumstead be my guest tonight?
Well, what's tonight?
The Tigers Club Stag Banquet.
Stag Banquet?
Sure. You know, Julie. Stag Banquet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wait a second, I'll call Bumstead.
Okay, Corporal Dithers.
As you were, Sergeant Klotz. Bumstead, come in here.
Did you call me, Mr. Dithers?
Bumstead, meet my old buddy, Joe Klotz. Mm. We were in the Army together in 1918.
Oh, glad to meet you. What were you in, the K-9 Corps?
Of course not. Joe was a major and I was a general.
Oh. A general? Mr. Dithers, you told me before that you were an admiral.
What? Oh, well, yes. I was an admiral general.
I was just telling Julie Bumstead that you and him should join the Tigers Club.
Yeah, Joe has invited us to be his guests at the Tiger Stack Banquet tonight.
Oh, that's great. Now, let me see. There was something. Yeah, it seems like there was something I was supposed to do tonight.
Oh, nonsense, Bummy. I didn't give you any homework tonight.
No, you didn't. But wait a minute. I must have been thinking of last night, yeah. Well, I'll call Blondie and ask her if I can go with you, huh?
You mean ask your wife if you can go? Oh, no.
Yeah. Bumstead, the trouble with you is you don't stand up for your rights. Make your own decisions. What are you, a man or a mouse? Assert yourself. Be like me.
Well, I don't like to be a rat. I...
Bumstead!
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bumstead. If you don't go, you're going to miss a lot of fun.
Bumstead, this is an order. You have to go with us.
Yeah, well, I still don't think I should go without telling Blondie.
You have to go.
I won't go.
All right, you're fired.
All right, I'll go.
Thank you for your cooperation.
I promise you, it'll be a circus.
Oh, boy, this will be a circus. Oh, circus. Hey, that's just where I was going to go tonight. I was going to take Alexander and Cookie to the circus. Now, if I don't take them, I'll be a flop as a pop. Hello. Blondie, this is the first chance, dear, that I've had to phone you. Yeah. Well, you see, Mr. Dithers is making me have dinner with a bunch of tigers. Yeah. So you and the children go ahead, and I'll meet you at the circus later. Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you in front of the sideshow where they had that dancer, Little Egypt. What? Well, if that's the way you feel, dear. Yes, okay, then look for me by the monkey cage. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. Goodbye.
What'd she say?
She said for me to wear a hat.
Hey, guess what, fellas? I just found out we're going to march into the circus behind our tiger band.
Yeah?
Isn't that great? Oh, say, do you Dithers play any band instrument?
Yeah, well, Mr. Dithers blows his own horn a little bit.
I'm sad. Yeah.
Well, come on, fellas, let's get going, huh?
Boy, I can't get to the circus soon enough. I'll march any place you want me to except in front of the trombones.
Dear, I wonder what's keeping your father.
Do you think I should go down to the monkey cage and look for him?
Oh, Cookie, is that a nice thing to say?
Well, he might be sharing a few peanuts with them.
Oh.
Hey, look, here comes another band.
With a lot of clowns behind
them. And look at that big tiger. The way he stands in the middle. I'll bet if he had one of Pop's sandwiches, that sand would really drag.
Oh, your father would love this. I wish he were here.
What happened?
Look, well, Mom.
The front of the tiger stopped. And the back part bumped into it.
Oh, those are men wearing a tiger costume. And look, children, the man in front is grabbing the man in back and trying to stuff him into the lion's cage.
Get in there, Mom.
Oh, come on, children. I don't know how your father got into this, but we're going down there and get him out of it. Oh, dear. Home at last.
Boy, that was a swell circus I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pop, you were funnier than any of the other clowns.
I suppose. Now, let's be quiet. Cookie's sound asleep. Where do you want me to put her, Blondie?
Here, give her to me. I'll take her upstairs and put her to bed.
Oh, I'll carry upstairs.
No,
for
never
you,
mind,
dear.
Never mind, dear. Now, come on, give her to me.
That's it.
Now, you'd better rest after your strenuous evening.
Yeah.
Shall we go in the kitchen and have something to eat? Well, I didn't eat much supper, so I'd be able to eat a lot of popcorn.
Mm.
And then I didn't get much popcorn.
Mm, yeah, well, okay. Come on, Alexander. I'll fix you a nice sandwich. Come on. While I'm at it, I think I'll make one for myself. Yeah, I think I'll make a Bumstead number 3 special.
Gee, Dexter's got to get rid of his goat. Can I have it?
Oh, it would be too hard to take care of, Alexander.
Oh, no, it wouldn't, Pop. I take good care of it.
Now, let's see. Now, what will I put in my sandwich? Pickled herring, horseradish, salami, onion, little Limburger cheese, little peanut butter to sort of cement it together. Let's see now, what else will I have in a sandwich?
And all the goat eats is wood and paper and tin cans.
Yeah, well, it's a wonder the fool things don't get sick putting that mixture in their stomachs, huh?
Oh, gee, Pop, can I have them?
Yeah, I don't think he'd better, Alexander.
You don't think he'd better what, Dad?
I don't think Alexander should have a billy goat, Blondie.
Well, I didn't think you would. In fact, I'd just assume you didn't even play with that goat, Alexander. After you've been around it for a while, you... Well, I'd just as soon you didn't play with it.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, if that's the way everybody feels, I guess there's nothing for me to do. Leave home and join a circus.
Yeah.
Leave home?
Just because you can't have a billy goat?
Yeah, I guess I better leave.
Oh, but Alexander, you can't do that.
So you're going to run away and join a circus, huh? Imagine a Bumstead being in a circus. No. Bumstead in a circus. Alexander, when do you think that you'll be leaving?
Huh? Oh, well, tonight, I guess.
Tonight, huh?
I know it's a hard thing to do, but I'll just have to be a man and make my own decisions.
Yeah. Alexander, take a little look outside.
Yeah. It is pretty dark.
And no place to sleep, either.
Okay, if you want me to stay tonight, I won't leave home until the first thing in the morning.
The first thing in the morning, huh?
Yeah, the first thing after breakfast.
We'll return to Dagwood, Blondie, and Alexander in just a minute.
New Super Suds contains Pyrade, better than sunshine any day. Gets washed white and colors bright.
Notice that we didn't finish our Super Suds jingle? Well, you write the last line for that jingle, and you may win a new 1949 Ford. Here's why.
There's a new Super Suds with Pyrade. It's better than sunshine to get washed white, leave colors bright. Actually makes all your clothes look newer. Truly the soap of the year.
And there's a thrilling new Super Suds jingle contest. 24 Fords, the car of the year, as main prizes. A new contest every week for 6 weeks.
Yes, four new Fords plus 258 other prizes each week.
So get new Super Suds from your dealer. Ask him for complete official rules and entry blanks for the big Super Suds Jingle Contest. Mail each entry with a Super Suds box top or facsimile to Super Suds Contest, Box 53, New York 8, New York. Here's the jingle.
New Super Suds contains Pyray, better than sunshine any day. Gets wash white and colors bright. You write the last line and mail it tonight.
Alexander's packing his suitcase.
He is. What for?
Well, don't you remember what he said last night? He's leaving home to join the circus.
Oh, stop worrying, dear. Now, just act like we're not going to try to stop him, see? He won't leave home. I know Alexander. He won't even go out of his room today.
Well, goodbye, folks.
Yeah, goodbye, Alexander. Huh? Hey. Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm leaving home, I guess.
Have you thought about where you're going to join the circus, Alexander?
Nope.
Of course, if you and Mom really want me to stay.
Oh, no. We've changed my mind. We don't want to stand in your way.
Oh, you wouldn't be standing in my way, Pop.
Oh, no, you wouldn't be standing in his way, Dagwood.
No, Blondie, no, dear. Alexander's made his decision, and I wouldn't want to interfere.
Oh. What have you got in your suitcase, Alexander?
Oh, I just took the important stuff. Only the things I really need.
What things?
Well, my water pistol.
Oh, yeah. Everybody should take a water pistol when you go on a trip.
And my butterfly collection.
Yeah, you'll need that too, all right, yeah.
And my baseball bat.
A baseball bat? In that tiny little suitcase? How'd you get a baseball bat in there?
I saw it in there.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, that should fit, I guess, yeah.
Well... I guess I better get started if I'm going to join the circus.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, but you're going to eat breakfast first, aren't you, Alexander?
Well, if you really want me to stay, Mom.
Sure, we want you to stay. Till after breakfast, I mean.
Huh? Oh, sure, till after breakfast.
Where is he, Dagwood?
Well, he's coming down now, Blondie. He went up to pack his suitcase again.
Oh, Dagwood.
Yeah?
Do you think we should let him leave?
Now, don't worry. He won't go far. He'll come back. Just don't let him think that we're concerned. Mm-hmm. He has to realize that he can't get things by threatening to leave home.
Oh, I guess you're right, dear.
Oh, shh, here he comes now. Let's just go on eating our breakfast.
All right.
Well, I guess I'll get going.
Okay, Alexander.
Goodbye, Mom. Bye, Pop. Boy, it's been nice living here. Too bad it had to end this way.
Yeah. Goodbye, Alexander.
So long.
Well, there he goes.
Oh, gee, Mom, don't cry. I'll stay.
Well, I'm not crying, Alexander.
Oh, you're not?
Uh-uh.
Well, I guess I'll be going. Bye, folks.
Yeah, goodbye, Alexander. There he goes again.
What'd you say, Pop?
I said goodbye, Alexander.
Oh,
Hey, that's funny. I know Mr. Dithers must be in his office. I'd better look. Oh, good morning, Mr. Dithers. Well, how do you feel after last night, huh?
Oh, my head.
Oh. I know, but how do you feel?
Oh, my head.
How's your buddy, Joe Klotz?
Oh, his head, too.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. I guess it's a good thing Blondie took me home.
Bumstead, I feel awful. Oh, my head. Shut the door, Bumstead.
Okay, J.C.
Door! You have to slam it? Now my ears are ringing.
No. That's the phone, Mr. Dithers. I'll get it. Hello? Oh, yes, Blondie. What? You think Alexander's really gone? Oh, my. This is all my fault, Blondie, dear. Okay, I'll find out where the circus went to today and see if he's there. Goodbye.
What's the matter?
Alexander's... Well, he's left home to join the circus, and I got to go find him.
Oh, that's nothing new.
What?
Every boy wants to run away and join a circus at some time or other. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was 7. I told my father that for 2 cents I'd run away from home.
What happened?
The easiest 2 cents I ever made.
Gee, I wonder where the circus went to.
Oh, I think it's in Sheridan City today. Mm. Go ahead and find your little bumlet.
Gee, I wonder when I can get a bus for Sheridan City. Hey, that looks like Mrs. Bob Orpington's big long limousine coming this way. Hey, Miss Bob Orpington, hey! Hi, Mrs. Bob Orpington.
Oh, Mr. Bolton, hello, hello there, dear boy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle. You don't happen to play violin, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, how too bad. You know, this morning I went to the gymnasium for a little exercise. Mm. Oh, they have the handsomest new gym instructor. Mm. He left me simply breathless.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he hit me in the stomach with a medicine ball.
What did you do?
What did I do? Mm. Well, I did what any well-bred person would do. I turned blue. How are you, dear?
Not too good.
Oh, you look very good to me. So strong, so handsome, so Gregory Peckish. But tell me, what's the trouble?
Well, my son wanted to run away from home, you see.
Oh?
And he wanted to join a circus or get a billy goat, and I told him that he'd have to choose between the goat and me, so he took the goat.
You know, I ran away from home when I was 10.
Did you want a billy goat?
No, I wanted a minky coat. Can I drop you anywhere, dear boy?
Well, I've got to get to the circus at Sheridan City and find Alexander and bring him home.
Well, hop right in, and I'll take you there, dear boy.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, my late husband, Mr. Bob Orpington, the man who invented the chicken, you know. He always used to say, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home if you can't find any other place open.
Hi, Alexander. Are you still here? I thought you'd left home to join the circus.
Well, I just came back to tell you goodbye.
Well, you told me that at breakfast.
Well, I was thinking, maybe I could forget about Jimmy Decker's billy goat.
Oh, really?
If I didn't have to wash my hands and face every time I eat.
Nothing doing. As long as you live in this house, you'll have to wash your face and hands before you sit down to the table.
Well, I guess I'll get started. I'll go up and say goodbye to Pop.
All right, you go up and... Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Well, your father's gone to the circus at Sheridan City.
He has?
Yes.
Gee, is he going to wag the tail of the tiger again?
Oh, never mind that. He's looking for you.
Then I guess we better start looking for him. Come on, Ma. We certainly don't want Pop to run away and join a circus, do we?
No, sir, Alexander. But we better get him quick before the circus hires another clown.
We've looked just about everywhere for him.
Well, if you were a Dagwood looking for an Alexander, where would you go?
Well, I guess maybe I'd be where they feed the animals. Let's go look.
Okay.
Hey, mister, give him the peanuts, not the shells.
Oh, hey, do I have to, huh?
There he is, Mom. You're right, Alexander. You, Dagwood. Hey, Pop.
Hey, Johnny, come here, Johnny. Have you seen a little boy around here named Alex? Alexander, it's you.
It sure is, Pop.
Oh, Alexander, my little old boy. I found you at last in Blondie.
Yes, Dagwood, we're here.
Look, dear, I just found Alexander. I thought to myself, Where would I go at the circus if I were Alexander? So I came here, and sure enough, I found him. Look,
we were looking for you, too, Pop.
Oh, yeah? I knew you'd get lonesome for your old Pop.
Well, right now, I'm not sure who was looking for whom. But we'd better get home for dinner.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Mom, as soon as we get home, will you remind me of something I have to do right away?
What's that, Alexander?
I want to go upstairs and wash my face and hands for supper.
Tucked in comfy now? Mm-hmm. Good night, Alexander.
Good night, Mom.
We're certainly glad you decided not to run away.
Yeah, we sure are.
Alexander, you really were a big help in finding your father.
I know, Mom, but don't tell Pop. Oh. It might spoil his fun. He really thinks he found me.
Soft, gleaming, glamorous hair. Try Luster Cream Shampoo. Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty new cream shampoo. In tubes or jars, whichever you prefer. Be a lovely Luster Cream girl.
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
Tell all your friends to tune in next Wednesday at the same time for Blondie. Written by John L. Green, starring Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake with Hanley Stafford. And next Saturday evening, hear Colgate's Hour of Fun. Hilarious Judy Canova, followed immediately by A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Two laugh-packed half hours. Next Saturday evening over NBC. This is Howard Petrie saying good night from Hollywood.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Blondie, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from 1948. The man who played Dagwood Bumstead in that episode, Arthur Lake, was actually born Arthur Silver Lake in 1905 to a circus family. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Straight ahead, America's favorite and most famous high school teacher on radio, Eve Arden, portrays Our Miss Brooks. From March 6, 1955, she's joined by Jane Morgan, Gail Gordon, and a young Richard Crenna in the episode called Project X from CBS.
Now it's Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. The life of an average school teacher tends to run along a fairly smooth and even path. But if that teacher's name is Constance Brooks and she teaches English at Madison High School, that path is apt to be not quite so smooth and even.
Somehow, while most girls go through life attracting boys, I go through it attracting accidents. Wednesday, as I was leaving Clay City High after a visit with a friend, I hit the jackpot of all accidents. I was walking toward the elevator, my mind off in space, when a few seconds later, so was I. I had stepped into an open elevator shaft. The next thing I knew, I was hanging by my fingertips. Jason Brill, Clay's principal, had rushed up and pulled me to safety. The newspaper photographers had taken our pictures, and we were so busy, I didn't have a chance to faint until I got home. The next morning, as my landlady and I sat down to breakfast, I slipped the newspaper casually under Mrs. Davis's eyes and waited for her reaction. Finally, it came. In tones quivering with excitement, she said,
Connie, what's a two-letter word meaning sun god?
Mrs. Davis, look.
No, dear. Look has four letters. Maybe I should try it vertical. Now, let's see. What's a three-letter word for feline domestic animal?
Meow.
Oh, no. Quiet, Minerva, and finish your milk. Now, three-letter word for feline domestic animal.
Meow.
It's no use, Minerva. Mrs. Davis, if you'll forget that crossword puzzle for a moment and look at the front page, you might see a story about a person you know that will interest you.
Oh, all right, dear.
Well?
Oh, my. My goodness. Why, Connie, this is your picture. A picture of you and Jason Brill. But what are you two doing on the front page?
If you'll read the story, you'll see what we're doing there.
A story? Oh, that's right. There is a story. Jason Brill, principal of Clay City High School, played the hero yesterday as he hoisted Constance Brooks, Madison High English teacher, out of an open elevator shaft. Miss Brooks had been dangling by her fingertips three stories up with the elevator a floor above her when she was finally rescued. Oh, Connie, how awful. But, dear, I don't quite understand.
Don't quite understand what, Mrs. Davis?
Wouldn't it have been simpler to wait for the elevator like everybody
else? Not with my claustrophobia. David, the whole thing was an accident. A horrible, nightmarish accident.
Oh, of course, dear. Were you hurt?
No, I'm all right today. Now, please don't worry about me, Mrs. Davis. I have as many lives as...
Meow!
No coaching, Minerva. Don't you want to read the rest of the story?
I'm reading it now. Mr. Brill, who is currently one of the principals being considered for promotion to assistant superintendent of schools, was extremely modest about his daring rescue. When asked to comment, he said, This is nothing that any other aggressive, vigorous, alert, level-headed, courageous man wouldn't have done under similar circumstances.
If he printed his whole comment, he would have been elected to Congress. As it is, I doubt if he'll make assistant superintendent. At least not while Mr. Conklin is also trying for the job.
Oh, is Osgood still after that position?
Like Dick Tracy is after Rughead. Why, today our boy unveils his Project X in front of Mr. Stone.
Project X? Goodness, it sounds important. What is it, dear?
If I know Mr. Conklin, it's probably a scientific method of making six teachers do the work of one principal. Frankly, Mrs. Davis, I'm dying to find out about Project X myself. Mr. Conklin's promised me that this morning he's letting the cat out of the bag.
Meow!
Back in the bag, Minerva.
In any case, Connie, it might be a good idea to drop in and see your principal before your first class. He'll be so relieved to see you unscratched. He'll fuss over you like a cat over her baby kitten.
Yes, Minerva, they're playing our song. Mr. Conklin, in perfect health, none the worse for wear, not a scratch on me, and ready to start the day's work with a brave smile. So don't you worry one bit.
Sit down, you traitor.
Huh? Mr. Conklin, didn't you read the story about me in the morning paper?
Seven times. Miss Brooks, you knew I was in a life-and-death struggle with Jason Brill for assistant superintendent. You knew that making him a hero would practically ruin my chances. For lo, these many years, you have been enjoying all of your accidents right here at Madison. And now, when I need you most, why did you have to take your business elsewhere?
It was rather thoughtless of me, sir.
And I was so confident that when I unveiled my Project X before Mr. Stone at 3 this afternoon, it would dwarf all of Brill's recent projects. But now, with it, heroes.
Is this your Project X, sir? This desk microphone and the instrument panel with push buttons?
Yes. It's an amplifying system. Sitting right here in my office, I can press buttons and hear what's going on in any classroom or hallway. I can check on my teachers and students at any time. Board of Education was delighted when I suggested they try out the system at Madison.
Would you show me how it works, sir?
Well, I had promised my daughter Harriet she would be the first to hear it this morning, but I don't know what's happened to her.
Oh, I'm certain she wouldn't mind if I heard it first.
No, I suppose not. Well, all right, I'll flick it on. We'll warm up with room 100, although it may be unoccupied at this early hour.
Oh, come on, Harriet. Just one little kiss.
No, Walter. Daddy wouldn't like it.
Who wants to kiss him?
Please, Harriet. One teensy-weensy little kiss.
Denton, unpack her this instant!
What? Harriet, you know you're getting to sound more like your old man every day.
Well, that wasn't me, Walter.
Well, don't tell me it's my conscience talking.
Denton, this is your principal talking.
And no conscience ever shouted like that.
Holy cow, now Miss Brooks' voice is coming out of the woodwork. Come on, Harriet, let's get out of here.
Well, that's my Project X, Miss Brooks. And if you hadn't made a hero out of Jason Brill, it would have been enough to sway Mr. Stone in favor of my promotion. I tell you frankly, if Mr. Stone selects Jason Brill for that job, I'm going to be in a very ugly mood indeed.
Yes, sir.
I will hark back constantly to the incident that caused my defeat, knowing always at whose doorstep to lay the blame. You can imagine what may occur.
Yes, sir. For the next 6 months, you're liable to trample all over my welcome mat. Well, since I had made a hero out of our principal's arch-rival, Jason Brill, Mr. Conklin felt that I had cost him his promotion to assistant superintendent. Just before lunch, Mrs. Davis phoned to find out how I was feeling, and I gave her a rundown of the situation.
Connie, I'm amazed at Osgood. Do you mean he wasn't a bit happy to see you up and around?
He acted more like he wished I were down than under. He feels I've cost him his promotion.
Well, he's just upset, dear. Why, with a wonderful project like that amplifying system, he should be able to walk into that new job.
Over a road of broken eardrums. That system is driving us all crazy, Mrs. Davis. He listens in on us in the classrooms, in the hallways, in the recreation room. And a few minutes ago, I had the shock of my life in the female faculty room.
My goodness. Well, Osgood is just sulking, Connie. Still, it would have been better for you if he had been the hero.
Well, it's too late to worry about that now, since... Mrs. Davis, what did you just say?
Well, I said... Oh, goodness, Connie, I'm afraid I wasn't paying attention. What did I say?
Yes. Why not?
Oh, I'm certain I didn't say yes. Why not?
Mrs. Davis, you're a lifesaver. Well, goodbye now. I've got to meet Mr. Boynton in the lunchroom and break the good news to him.
Good news? What good news, Connie?
That at 3 p.m. today, he's going to be rescued by Mr. Conklin from a terrible accident.
Say, that pie was better than they usually make down here.
Yes, it was.
Oh, now, you said you had a big favor to ask me. What is it?
Yes, I did want to ask a favor, Mr. Boynton, but perhaps I'd better not ask it here. You know who might be listening in on us right now.
Who? Which who? Oh.
Yes, that who. I wish I could whisper it to you, though. Bring your ear over closer. Now, listen.
Say, that tickled. You know, you sent a chill right down my spine.
Care to do me now? I mean, let's just talk in low tones.
Oh, Miss Brooks, believe me, you're worrying needlessly. I'm sure Mr. Conklin has something better to do than listen in on lunchroom conversations. But if you're worried, why don't you just write down what you have to say on a napkin? What do you think of that idea?
I think it's the sneakiest thing I've heard today.
Mr. Conklin. Gosh, you were right, Miss Brooks.
Don't get panicky, friend. Just follow me across to the unoccupied zone of Madison High. We'll be perfectly safe from him here in the boiler room, Mr. Boynton. There isn't a wire in the place, see?
Still, he's here, Miss Brooks. I can feel it in my bones. This room is wired, too. I know he's here.
Mr. Boynton, look. I'll prove to you once and for all that Mr. Conklin has no wires down here. Here's a paper bag on the floor. I'll blow it up and explode it near the ceiling. Watch. Mr. Boynton, get up off your knees.
I can't hear you. What happened to my eardrum? Where is everybody?
Mr. Conklin?
I can't hear. Say something, somebody. Please.
Mr. Conklin, can you hear me, sir?
Talk, somebody. I can't hear a thing. Say something, somebody.
Go jump in the lake, fish face.
Take a fly and leap for yourself, meathead. Hear what I called him, Miss Brooks?
If it's a question of your getting the Medal of Honor, I'll be your witness.
Well, now that Mr. Conklin can't hear us, what was that big favor you wanted?
Mr. Stone is coming over at 3 this afternoon to hear the amplifying system in action. And when he presses the button to hear what's going on in your laboratory, I was wondering if you could be in the midst of a fake accident yelling for help.
Oh, I see. You mean if I have this fake accident and Mr. Conklin saves me, Mr. Stone may pick him for that promotion and we'll be rid of him and his amplifying system.
You ain't just burning your Bunsen, Boynton. That's right, I mean. Now, just in case Mr. Conklin has regained his hearing, let's go outside and talk over the details.
No, all right, Miss Brooks. Follow me. This back door leads to the athletic field, and I'm sure that no one...
Father will never hear us here in the boiler room, Harriet. Not a chance. Believe me.
But are you sure, Walter?
Well, just to play it absolutely safe, I'll test. Ah, come on, Harriet. Give me a kiss. Just one little kiss. Yeah, it's okay, Harriet. If he'd heard me, his bark would have exploded the boiler room by this time. Now, what do you think of my plan?
Well, making a hero of Daddy in front of Mr. Stone sounds pretty fantastic to me.
Fantastic? What's fantastic about it? It's simple. When Mr. Stone tries out the sound system and contacts the boiler room, I pretend the water pipes have exploded and I'm practically drowning.
And then Daddy hears you hollering, dashes down and rescues you, huh?
Yeah, that's the idea. Now, that could be... Oh, Harriet, I just got a terrible thought.
What?
If your father ever really thought I was drowning, he'd let me.
Well, making a hero of Mr. Conklin in front of Mr. Stone seemed like an ideal way to get him his promotion, particularly if it occurred while he was demonstrating his new amplifying system. However, unknown to each other, Miss Brooks and Walter Denton happened to get the idea at the same time. So as Miss Brooks approached her principal's office that afternoon, she knew nothing of the mix-up.
Miss Brooks, just a moment, please.
Why, Mr. Conklin, I was just about to stop in your office on my way home. Can you hear all right now?
I can hear all right, but my head feels like the inside of the Holland Tunnel at high noon. However, let's forget the boiler room caper, shall we? Now listen, I have a favor to ask of you, a big favor. Mr. Stone is in my office at this very moment, and I'm about to demonstrate my amplifying system to him.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about getting that promotion anymore, sir. Accidents have a way of happening at the strangest times, making heroes of the strangest people. I have a feeling one may happen very soon.
Why, Miss Brooks, how did you find out about the accident I'd planned?
You planned an accident?
And you will play a key role in it.
What are you going to do, push me off the roof?
Oh, what a perfectly delightful... Miss Brooks, this accident again involves an open elevator shaft. If you look 10 feet in front of you, the shaft is open.
Oh, no, sir, not again. Don't ask me to do it again. My fingertips are all worn out.
Listen, we've got to act quickly. I've made arrangements with our home economics teacher, Miss Miller, to cling from that open elevator shaft in exactly 2 minutes. At that time, or before, you will come into my office screaming for help, and I shall bound to the rescue.
Oh, well, before you go, sir, we'd better synchronize our accident. You see, I
and
have
And don't
to...
worry about Miss Miller. Even if she does let go, it's only a 4-foot drop, and I have several mattresses underneath to break her fall.
But, sir, believe me, it won't be necessary...
Do as I say, Miss Brooks. Give me a moment or two with Mr. Stone, and then go into your act.
But, Mr. Conklin,
there you are, Conklin. Say, this is quite an efficient-looking acoustical setup you've got here.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Stone. Well, it's only natural for a principal whose only concern is his school to want to improve its operation. And as you know, sir, in all my years at this school, my one thought, my one aim has been how I can become assistant how I can better conditions here at Madison.
I'm well aware of that, Osgood. But now I'd like to hear this amplifying system in operation, so...
Mr. Conklin, come quickly. Something terrible has happened. Miss Miller has fallen down the elevator shaft. She's clinging to the ledge this very minute.
What? Fallen down the elevator shaft? Good heavens. Why, Miss Brooks, it happened to you only yesterday.
Yes, sir. I must have ushered in the season.
Well, what are we standing around for? A human life is in peril. Clear, quick, decisive action is called for. And if there's one thing about Osgood Conklin, he is never one to lose his head in emergencies and turn his...
Conklin! Stop filibustering and save her.
Yes, at once.
This is terrible, Miss Brooks, simply terrible. I think we'd better contact someone to give Conklin a hand.
But how could we contact anyone in time for him to do any good,
well,
sir?
I could try using the amplifying system.
I withdraw the question.
Exactly. It's only a little after 3. Some teachers must still be in their classrooms. Mr. Boynton usually stays late to work in his lab, doesn't he? Maybe he can lend a hand.
Oh, no, sir. I've been trying to borrow one for years. Well, I'm certain he's gone home.
Well, nevertheless, there's no harm in trying the biology lab. Now, where is that button? Oh, yeah, here we are.
Help! Help, Mr. Conklin! Save me! Please save me! These poison gas fumes are choking me! Help me!
Something's happened to Boynton. What's going on down there?
Sounds like the deathbed scene from Camille.
Save me, Mr. Conklin! A test tube exploded and I'm choking. Please save me, Mr. Conklin.
Mr. Conklin's out on call, Mr. Boynton. Will I do?
For quick action, Miss Brooks. The boiler room is the closest place to the biology lab. I'll contact the school custodian. Oh, yes, here's the button.
Help! Save me, Mr. Conklin!
No. That sounds like Walter Denton, and he's drowning?
When those water pipes go, they really go.
Oh, save me, Mr. Conklin! Save me!
Miss Brooks, just why is everyone all over the school calling for Osgood Conklin?
Maybe Philip Morris is busy. Sir, I'm sure that what you heard...
What I heard is plenty. It's all beginning to add up, Miss Brooks.
Well, maybe if you subtracted those last 2 accidents.
Well, I saved Miss Miller. She almost pulled me down into the shaft with her, but I broke her death hold on my ankle and pulled her up by the hair. But it was actually nothing. Nothing at all.
I agree with you.
Eh?
You feel quite the hero, don't you, Conklin? Then suppose you get your rescue squad and save this poor soul.
Oh, save me, Mr. Conklin! The poison gas! Gas all over! Save me!
Where's Mr. Boynton? I rushed right
Hold
down.
Hold it, Rover boy. We have another customer for you in the boiler room.
Probably going down for the 3rd time.
Save me, Mr. Conklin! I'm drowning! I'm going down for the 15th time!
Okay, so shoot me.
But I don't understand. What are they all doing? Miss Brooks, why are they all yelling for me to save them?
I don't know, sir, unless they're mistaking you for a St. Bernard.
Believe me, Mr. Stone, I had no hand in all this. I'm an innocent man.
Do we have any more accidents waiting for us, Conklin?
I believe that's all we had on the calendar for today, sir.
I'm innocent, Mr. Stone. Believe me.
Ah, here we have a button marked roof. What little game are we playing up there, Conklin?
Oh, nothing, sir. Absolutely nothing. That's for emergency air raid spotting.
Well, we'll try it anyway, shall we?
Save me, Osgood, for goodness sake. Save me.
Margaret Davis? But what's she doing on the roof?
Miss Brooks?
Don't ask me, sir. I'm still trying to figure out Walter.
Save me, Osgood. I'm stuck on the television aerial. Save me.
I think I've heard enough. Conklin, I don't know whether to bring charges against you or just continue to tolerate your occasional lapses into complete idiocy. But one thing is certain. Neither you nor Jason Brill will be recommended for that promotion.
Neither one of them?
No, Miss Brooks. And don't try to tell me now that you didn't stage that Perils of Pauline act yesterday, too.
Mr. Stone, that's not true. I had a real accident, and I earned every bruise of it.
Certainly, Miss Brooks. At this point, I don't know whether to believe anyone has had any real accidents or not. So, good day to both of you.
Well, at least Brill won't get the job.
Oh! Help!
What was that?
Shad.
Now, isn't that a shame?
Shall we, Miss Brooks?
I knew if we kept on pitching, sir, we'd make it sometime today.
Martin, transcribed, was produced and directed by Lyle Derman, with the music of Bud Gluskin. Mr. Conklin was played by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Bob Rockwell, Gloria McMillan, and Joseph Kern.
Our Miss Brooks, on Tuned to Yesterday, that CBS broadcast first heard on March 6th, 1955. And that brings to an end this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.